Welcome to Double Fries, No Slaw. It is Sunday night. Richie, we are almost three weeks to the minute away from kickoff. I will probably, 3 weeks from this time, this is quite a way to start a show. I'll probably be stumbling down the streets of Orlando trying to get into Camping World Stadium. Or maybe at this time, like I'll already be in line to get my ticket scanned. So maybe I'll give myself a little bit more credit. But hey, we are rapidly approaching game one. We are rapidly approaching being in Orlando. We've got some fun stuff that we're going to do. Richie, I haven't even told you about this, but I've got a buddy that owns a cigar bar or is the manager of a cigar bar downtown Corona. Right across from that is a bar that we've hung out a couple of times, Underground Public House. Like, I think we're going to try and get together on Saturday night and do some stuff. I know you guys are golfing on Saturday, so all day thing in Orlando. And then, of course, the tailgate and the game. We're going to talk about the LSU game here in just a little bit. But, Richie, it's almost time, man. It's close.
It is, man. I cannot wait. We are 3 weeks, like you said, 3 weeks in what, 34 minutes from kickoff to the LSU versus Florida State game at Camping World Stadium. Harlan and I will be golfing at Camp or at Falcons Fire. So we already have three tee times booked. But if you guys want to join us, head up, book a tee time at Falcons Fire in Kissimmee. It's not far from Orlando at all. But man, the season is so close. It's almost here. Preseason NFL football is here. And I am just so excited. Got my tickets secured finally. I was definitely dragging on that. Shout out to a Melanola, you know, your boy TJ for helping get that taken care of. But man, I cannot wait. It's going to be a blast in just 3 weeks. And like you said, TJ, I will be stumbling down as well. So will my wife, Lindsay, and we are so excited for this game.
Yeah. My wife's not coming to the tailgate, but my parents are. So I feel like I'll at least have somebody to keep me a little bit in check. So, okay, fall camp going on. We're a little over a week through fall camp. It's crazy to think that there's only 2 weeks left. There's a scrimmage tonight. So we are excited for that. We will certainly drop updates in the Discord from the scrimmage. We will also have a video coming out first thing tomorrow morning. Updates, if you want updates tonight, you gotta pay for them. Go sign up for the exclusive channels. But if not, you can get them for free tomorrow morning. So maybe I'm a bad salesman there. Scrimmage tonight. But fall camp, some success. Richie, let's talk a little bit about fall camp. Made it through so far pretty healthy. Knock on wood there. Couple weeks left. Really the only, I've done a couple of radio shows just the last couple of days. And that's all people have asked me is like, hey, how are you feeling about fall camp? And I'm like, hey, we're still healthy. Like, that's all that matters. We return the most production in all of college football. So I know what we've got, and I think we've added some pretty good stuff as well, but we've made it through relatively healthy. Guys, we're in Jacksonville this week. So let's talk a little bit about it. What stood out the most to you in the updates, what we've seen, what we've heard from Coach Norvell, what we've seen from the different people that have been at camp? What's kind of been the big sticking point for you so far?
Man, I just think it's reinforced this offense is going to be really, really good, TJ. I don't know if we have a weak point on the offense at all. Jordan Travis has done exactly as we've expected. And, you know, when we got the commitment from Keon Coleman out of Michigan State, we thought that was a good big deal, right? And from what we're hearing, that might be an even bigger deal than we ever imagined. It sounds like he might be wide receiver one. And when you got a guy like Johnny Wilson on the other side of the field, it's a huge deal because, my goodness, if Keon Coleman is what we're hearing that he is in fall camp so far, especially in these practices in Jacksonville with full pads, man, that's a huge deal. I cannot wait to see what this offense looks like. But, man, Keon Coleman is a name that I keep seeing popping up and popping up and popping up that could really make a huge difference in this offense. And, again, Johnny Wilson, we know what he is. We saw last year. We saw at the Oklahoma game in Orlando. We're going right back to that stadium in a few weeks. Man, you put those two guys opposite of each other with Trey Benson in the backfield – man, this offense is going to be lights out. We'll get into the defense here shortly because, you know, no surprise, one guy, another transfer, his name is standing out. But offensively, Keon Coleman apparently is him.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the weapons and just like how do you guard Florida State? How do you know there's we're going to talk about LSU a little bit more in depth here in a second and just kind of share some early thoughts there. But, you know, how do you, I mean, you didn't even mention there are so many talented guys, Richie, that you just didn't even mention, right? Because, I mean, I know you don't want to spend 45 minutes talking about one thing, but Jaheim Bell, like how do you, you've got those two guys you just mentioned and you've got the best dual threat quarterback in the country with Jordan Travis's legs. And then you also have to account for Jaheim Bell and 6'7" Kyle Morlock and 5-star Hakeem Williams and the myth Destin Hill. And, you know, it is truly ridiculous. Toa Fili out of the backfield. I mean, Toa Fili's made some of the most impressive receiving plays for a running back that we've seen in years. Like you think about just some of the ridiculous stuff he did, like the Clemson game a couple of years ago and staying on his feet and just the Miami catch that he had this year. And, you know, guys like Ja'Kai Douglas and Kentron, and it is really just ridiculous how deep they are at out of the skill positions. And then, you know, you think about what the offensive line finally we think is going to look like. I mean, they were good last year. Don't get me wrong, but I think they got better at the offensive line position too. I mean, I know that Gibbons moved on. I know that Jazz moved on, but I think they've upgraded with some transfers, some guys getting older, bigger, faster, stronger. And so, man, you know, it's hard to not sound like such a homer when you're talking about this offense, but if there was any one thing I was going to buy being confident on this year, it is Florida State's offense. And that has been something we have talked about literally since before last year ended. I put out a video on Christmas Day that it was pinned on our YouTube for a long time, but it was a catchy graphic of Jameis making the big eyes. I think it was when he was yelling at Ryan Jensen when he was with the Bucks, but talking about how Florida State's offense was going to be one that we remember. And it is now August and we are still singing the praises of how good we think this offense is going to be. And so it's going to be something to see. I'm really excited about it, but you mentioned the defense and I think that's another place that could really, really, not surprised, because I do think that we expect the defense to be a lot better and really good. But, you know, I know there are some questions about depth at certain places on defense, but that top line, that starting 11, that, you know, kind of top rotation is going to be really, really good. I have no questions about that. You talked about a transfer name that's kind of sticking out on the defense side of the ball. Who you got?
Yeah, man, Braden Fisk, right? From all reports, all accounts, you know, when the ball is snapped, he is the first guy moving almost every single time. He is just going to be a menace. And if you've seen the photos of him at spring camp, or excuse me, at fall camp, you know, he looks like a growing ass man. I am so excited to see him. You know, it stinks that, you know, Daryl Jackson got his waiver denied. They're going to appeal it, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play this year, unfortunately. And that hurts depth a little bit. If Fabo is healthy and ready to go game one, which it sounds like he might be closer to being healthy than we thought, you know, maybe even 2 weeks ago. But Braden Fisk, man, he sounds like he is the real deal. You know, coming from where he came from, Western Michigan, you know, people are going to have their doubts. But he is holding up against what you just said, TJ. And this is not the best offensive line in the country. Might be a top 10 offensive line in the country, if we're being honest. No. But he is holding his own and then some. Man, this guy might have been the steal of the transfer portal, if we're being honest.
Yeah, it's really kind of ridiculous what we're seeing. And Florida State's defensive line was already really good. And we've talked about Fabian Lovett a little bit, and we certainly want to get him back 100% and healthy and ready to go. And, you know, having some trouble still with the foot. I've heard that he hasn't really been a participant in fall camp, but I've also heard that, you know, they're kind of to some degree treating this for some of the returning guys that, you know, got pretty good NILs and could have been in the league and stuff last year. They're treating this somewhat like a NFL camp or an NFL preseason. I don't think Jared Verse needs a lot of reps to be ready. I don't think Fabian Lovett needs a lot of reps. And I think they're trying to let certain guys spend some time off their feet. They all busted butt when it came to tour of duty and summer workouts and stuff like that. And so, but yeah, you want to see Fabian back. You want that. But man, Fabian and Fisk and Farmer as a top three is still pretty ridiculous. I'd love to have Jackson there as well, but I really, really like Tafasi. And I know there are other guys there in the middle that they're very excited about. And then you move to the edges. I've got a bold prediction that might shock some people here in a few minutes, but obviously you know what you've got with Jared Verse, Pat Payton. Gilbert Edmond has done some good things as well. I think probably the unit that you're most wanting to see take that extra step or take that next step is the secondary. But, you know, it sounds like Renardo Green and Jerrion Jones might still be your starters today if today was the LSU game, which means you have an all ACC type guy coming off the bench. Or when you go to the extra backer, I think that, you know, what you've got on defense in that secondary is going to be really, really special. I'm excited for Dent and Brown. I think some of the young guys can get in there. I'm hearing good things on Barker. That sounds like a hit. His athleticism, his size, I was chatting with somebody on Saturday about it. His athleticism, his size are going to be pretty sick. You know, it may take him some time to get rolling, but man, I like what they've got on defense too. And Richie, if they can get both sides of the ball, I mean, like last year, yeah, there were definitely games where both sides of the ball showed up and played really, really well. But there were games where you couldn't count on the defense or the offense let you down in this game or whatever the situation was. Man, if they get both of them working, and it sounds like the kicking game is taking a step up too. So no shots fired there. Happy birthday, Ryan Fitzgerald, by the way. But sounds like the kicking game's kind of picking up too. I don't know. We're going to do bold predictions here in a minute. And I asked people on Twitter and they were saying like, I think we win 10 games. I'm like, that ain't really that bold, bro. Like Vegas said that. So, anyway, closing thoughts on fall camp and anything else maybe you want to see out of fall camp outside of just staying healthy. I know that's the big one, but anything else you want to see out of fall camp, before we wrap up this
part. You kind of mentioned with Ashton Barker, right? Depth at safety. That's something I wanted to see heading into fall camp, and it looks like it's starting to develop. And you're looking at the weaknesses on this team. You know, you'd still like to see another linebacker step up, and, you know, that'd be ideal. But, man, if this team somehow has 2013 injury luck, right, the only guy you lost at that time was replaced by Jalen Ramsey. Right. That was the only starter you lost, and he was replaced by Jalen Ramsey. If you get that type of injury luck, this guy really is the limits for this team. And at that point, the playoff is the expectation, right? Not just a hopeful. Shout out our guy, Barrett Salehi, who we had on the show. He hit it the nail on the head, I think. He's like, yeah, Florida State is not a dark horse, guys. They are a legitimate contender, and he's 100% right. Now, if injuries derail this season, that would suck, but you would understand it at that point. But the fact of the matter is, man, this team is good. The battle's end. Shout out Ingram Smith and his guys out there for bringing all these guys back. You know, I saw a tweet from an NFL insider that said Jared Verse would have been a top 10 pick in the NFL draft this past year, and he's back at Florida State. This team has so much potential, and I'm so excited. And again, 3 weeks, you know, and 22 minutes at the time of me saying this right now from kicking off against LSU, it's going to be a special season, and I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, going to be really fun. Yeah, I won't talk about that. You mentioned the playoffs. We'll talk about this, then we'll go. Actually, this could start off our bold predictions. A lot of people have, and I'll give a plug real quick here to Garnet and Gold. Everybody's talking about having their tickets and coming to the tailgate and coming to hang out and excited for everything that's going on. Make sure that you're threaded up and you have your gear from garnetandgold.com. Use code NOSLAW, NOSLAW, to get 15% off. They support our boosters. They work with our kids through NIL. They have employed thousands of FSU students over the years. If you're not shopping at Garnet and Gold, I feel like it's the Jalen Ramsey quote. What is it that you're doing over there? So make sure it's garnetandgold.com only. Make sure you get your orders in. I've seen a lot of people in those white shoes. I know you guys like the shoes, the coaches' polos, the jerseys. They've got great prices. We'll save you 15% if you use code NOSLAW. Garnetandgold.com only. Okay. This can start off some bold predictions here, Richie. I've seen a lot of people predict the playoff as their bold prediction. And I get that, but I don't know how truly bold that is. And here's why. Okay, so here's what I'm going to start with. The AP poll is going to come out tomorrow. I'd expect we're in that same range as the coaches poll, right? 7 to 8.
I'm thinking 5 or 6.
Okay, so I think we're like 7-ish, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong on this. But like either way, right? Like 5 to 8. Okay, so I looked at the teams that are ahead of us in the coaches poll, and who has an easier path to the playoff than Florida State, right? Okay, and so like let's – Georgia does. I think that's fair. I think the winner of Ohio State, Michigan probably does. But then does USC have an easier path to the playoff than Florida State? I don't think so. We're going to be an underdog in 2 games, and it's going to be like 3 points each time. So, like, I think we have a little bit easier path. And that's not to say that we're definitely – Penn State is ahead of us. They don't have an easier path. There's no chance of that. LSU doesn't have an easier path. I know we play them, and they're ahead of us. Clemson's behind us, so, like, they don't count. I mean, that's kind of equal to me. Actually, I think Clemson's schedule might be a little bit – well, we play LSU, so maybe we're slightly tougher. But I think we have an easier road to the playoff than, again, everyone but the Big Ten champion – and Georgia. And that's not to say that we're definitely in or anything like that. You got to take care of business on the, but I just don't think predicting the playoff is very bold. And so maybe my bold prediction is that that's not a bold prediction. Maybe that's my first one, but that's how I want to start off bold predictions. I don't think, as somebody mentioned Alabama, I don't think Alabama has an easy path. I think that they're neck and neck with LSU. And then I still think they're behind Georgia right now. And so I don't necessarily think Alabama has an easier path. So I think we have one of the best paths to get there. Now, that said, you got to go out and take care of business. You've got to go out there and perform. And if you lose against LSU, the margins are razor thin to do it. But I'm going to start out bold predictions by saying – so, Richie, I hope that wasn't one of your bold predictions. But I'm going to start out bold predictions by saying that ain't bold. Saying that we're going to the playoff is not bold. All right? You're not trendy if you say that. Like Barrett said – we ain't a dark horse, right? This is not a situation where we're surprising anybody. So, all right, I need to get that rant off my chest, Richie. What are your – if you have any thoughts on that, I'll let you follow up. But do you have any bold predictions for me after you follow up on that?
Yeah, well, I think to your point, TJ, it's much more difficult. Last year was easy to make bold predictions. We were coming off a 5-7 season. There was no expectations.
Nine was bold.
Yeah. Now, here we are. You know, if you said we were going to win 10 games last year, people are like, wait, what are you crazy? You're going to double your win total from a year ago? Yeah, we did. But, man, this year, when you talk about bold predictions, it's a lot tougher because anything you say that would be considered, quote-unquote, bold, even if you said Jordan Travis is going to win the Heisman, okay, bold prediction, but that's very possible. Like
he's got the second best odds. Yeah,
media people are predicting that, so it's hard for me to come up with bold predictions for this team because expectations are there. Can this team handle it? I think one thing that I think we'll see, I think Rodney Hill is that guy, man. I do. I think he will be second behind Trey Benson in rushing yards, and I think he goes for 600 yards and 6 touchdowns this year. Mm. You know, I think he is going to be that dude next year. I love Lawrence Toofili. I think he's more of a receiving weapon. But Rodney Hill, man, this guy, watch out for him. I think he could have a big season, 600 yards, 6 touchdowns.
I like it. Prediction one, 600 yards, 6 touchdowns, Rodney Hill from you. I like it. And I think he's got a chance too, just because – I mean, we're playing a lot of blowouts too. So, yeah. And that's not to take anything away from him, but sneaky pick there, because if he plays in a lot of blowouts and we're running our second and third string guys, you might get that really early in the year, Richie. So, all right. Number one for me, I've got Keon Coleman leading the team in receiving yards. I think Johnny might still get touchdowns. I think that he's such a red zone threat that you could, and I saw a question on scrimmage updates. Scrimmage is like going on now, I believe. So I don't have any updates live as it's happening later on. Make sure you're subscribed. But yeah, I've got Keon Coleman, you know, kind of wide receiver one. I think that, you know, you could get Johnny Wilson leading in touchdowns. I'd love for Johnny Wilson to come out and prove me wrong on this, but I got Keon Coleman leading in receiving yards. I saw some people say that, you know, they'd both go up over 1,000. I'm all for that. I don't know if that happens or not, just with how we spread the ball around. But I'm for that. If we play all 15 games, then, you know, then maybe that's how. But Keon Coleman, wide receiver one, that's my first one. What you got next?
Man, I think this truly is a bold prediction, which is hard to do, again, with the expectations this team has. But Florida State will have both first-team All-ACC defensive ends in Jared Verse and Patrick Payton. Patrick Payton was the newcomer of the year for the ACC last year. And if he takes that next step, which Jared Verse is going to demand a lot of attention, that's going to free up a lot of Patrick Payton. And we already talked about the defensive tackle position.
No.
TJ, this defensive line is going to be a problem. And if Patrick Payton has improved the way from year one to year two that we think he has, I think Florida State might very well have the first-team all ACC defensive ends, Jared Verse and Patrick Payton, bold prediction number two.
Okay, I'm moving my number three up to number two so I can piggyback off of yours. I've got Florida State with three defensive linemen drafted in the first two rounds next year. So my bold prediction is going into April, right? We're gonna usually revisit this like in January, but mine I'm extending it out. I got three. Somebody said your Rodney Hill one isn't bold at all. I've got three defensive linemen in the first two rounds: Braden, Jared. I think Pat Payton plays himself into being an NFL draft pick early. I do think there's a chance that he could get a lot of hype, and then we could give him Jared Verse's bag from this year and get him to come back for one more year to be like that top 10 pick. But I could also see himself playing his way into the late first round, early second round. And I think depending on the success of the team, he could end up going too. I got Fisk. Well, I'm not saying who exactly, but yeah, Fisk, Verse, and Payton, top two rounds next year. What's your third and final one, Richie?
So my final one, and you know, there might be some controversy here, but I've been looking at the schedule. I've been watching these practice reports closely, listening to the people who are on the ground at practice. Florida State enters the month of October 4-0.
Ooh. Got us winning both.
Yes. And just a week or 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said 3-1 was most likely, 2-2 with a very real possibility. But as of today, I'm thinking 4-0, and I'm standing on that like Ingram is standing on business.
I like it. I saw Ingram yesterday. Hey, shout out to Tampa Knowles. I went to their block party yesterday and picked up this sweet shirt. Rich, we got to get you back out there next year. It was a fun time, always a great time. We'll do an event out there next year like we did last year. But good stuff there. Shout out their president, Mike. He'll be at the tailgate. If you're in Tampa and you missed yesterday, it is phenomenal. You guys got to go to the Tampa Knowles event. How are we 25 minutes into this, Harlan, and nobody has taken that today's leader spot up on the board? It's nuts. You guys are sitting on your wall. It's the middle of the month. I get it. You guys are spending money on that LSU game. I broke after that.
Tell me about that.
All right. My third one, I wanted – okay, so another one that I saw a lot of people say, a lot of people talk about this, talked about potentially Jordan Travis working his way into – the first round. I do think that's possible. But it's not going to be where I'm at. Here's mine. Florida State is incredibly serious about football, and they pony up. And this is an off the wall one. Again, you got to go off the wall. Nothing else is really that bold, but Alex Atkins remains our offensive coordinator for the 2024 season. That's my bold prediction. And I believe it. I think that he's going to get some insane looks. The only caveat to that is if we win the national championship. If we win the national championship, he's out. But I think as much as I want to keep Alex, like, I'll take that trade, man. We haven't won one in 10 years. But I've got Alex Atkins returning in 2024 to be our offensive coordinator. Florida State ponies up and makes him incredibly well paid. And I think that's probably his last year in Tallahassee, but I think we hold on to him for one more year. So, yeah, that's where I don't know. Off the wall. But again, I mean, what am I going to say? Jordan Travis throws for 4,000. Of course, I mean, he's going to do that. So, like, you know, nothing else is really that bold. So give me Alex Atkins coming back in 2024.
Yeah, that is bold. And but I agree with you. If he leaves, it's not going to be for money. it's going to be because a Power Five school gave him a head coaching opportunity. I don't see him going to a Group of Five school for a head coaching job. I truly think an SEC school or even a Big Ten school is going to say, hey, we need that guy, because Florida State's going to average 40 plus a game this year. And, you know, everyone knows Mike Norvell's the architect of the offense, but Alex Atkins plays a huge role in that during the week in the game planning. And he is worth every single penny Florida State offers him. So if he does come back, I agree with you, TJ. It won't be because of money, but because we're going to pay him whatever it takes. Even he could be a $2 million coordinator. But
I'm with it.
But if another school in the Power Five, or let's call it the Power Two, because we're about to talk about realignment, if the Power Two school offers him, you know, $5 million to be a head coach, hey, Coach Atkins, love you. Go get yours, man, at that point. Go do you.
Well, you saw guys like Venables and other guys, and there were other factors that played into that, but you saw guys at Clemson turn down more money and because they were waiting for the right job. And so kind of what goes into that is I have had some conversations with some people. I do believe that Coach Atkins is not going to just bolt for any one thing. I think he will wait on the right job. And Brent Venables, by doing that, now has one of the best jobs in college football, right? As opposed to just kind of running out to coach some team and work your way up.
Definitely getting fired like Jeff Scott.
Right. So that's kind of what I think. So we'll see. Nathaniel, that's a good way to end that segment.
Fire up the war chant and plant the spear. Knowles win. Knowles win.
Woo. You're even bolder than I am. Undefeated national champs, Travis wins the Heisman by a landslide. Verse gets an invite as well. That would be insane. And Atkins sticks with Norvell as long as Mickey Andrews did with Bowden. Yeah, we're winning multiple titles if that happens. I'm just going to tell you, because we're going to have the best offensive line in the country for several years. So I like it. Nathaniel, thank you for the love. You're today's leader. You get our top spot. Shout out to Nathaniel for the love. Okay, thegrahamco.com. I'll give them a little love as well, and then we will move on to talk a little conference realignment. We're going to have some scrimmage updates, some news and notes for you guys later tonight in the Discord, and then tomorrow morning we'll put a video out on the scrimmage. Thegrahamco.com. You can use code TJ25 to get 25% off. Listen, they have the Delta 8 gummies that you guys know about, but now they have the Delta 9 that you guys need to go check out. It's an upgraded, it's the real stuff, right? It's not the, I don't want to call it Delta 8 fake, but it's the real stuff. All right. If you don't know what that means, then probably start with the Delta 8. But go check them out, thegrahamco.com, TJ25. Appreciate them for their support. Got some exciting stuff coming with them, and they'll be out at the tailgate for sure. Okay, Richie, conference realignment. We're 2 days away from the deadline that we have talked about, this August 15th deadline. And I think, okay, here's my gut. I don't know what your thought is on this, but not to get anybody upset, but my gut is that we play two more years in the ACC and then that's it, right? I don't think anything is announced in the next day or two. I'd love to be wrong on that. I think we've covered conference realignment. Honestly, like I don't think Richie and I are the best. I said this the other day. I don't think Richie and I are the best hosts. I don't think we have the best insight. I don't think we have the best sources, or we're not going to tell you ever. But, like, we've covered conference realignment better than anybody out there, I think, really, in any fan base. That's the one thing I will, like, toot our horn on and pat ourselves on the back. Like, we have been on top of that. And, you know, we've done more content. I've finally had to start turning away some interviews, like, talking about it. I'm like, look, just go watch the video. I got to go spend time with my kids. But, yeah, we've done a good job with conference realignment. So, all that said, I'm not trying to lose you guys here, but I don't think we're announcing before the 15th. I think we're in the ACC this year and next year, and then 2025, I think we're out. I'd love to be wrong on that. I've had some people tell me that they think the exact opposite, and they're people that I trust. And so I'd love for them to be right instead of me. But Richie, do you have a strong lean there? What are your thoughts?
Yes, I think Florida State announces they are leaving the ACC by August 15th, 2024. It's not going to be this year. I think we talked offline the other day, TJ. I think if Florida State was going to do it, it would have been Friday. That would have made the most sense. You know, you made a great point that the second they announce their intention to leave, they lose their vote. So it's smart for Florida State to not announce it until they absolutely know. But these past 6 months, Florida State has made it obvious. Like they've not scrambled words at all. They've made it clear they intend to leave the ACC. That goes back to the Amelia Island meetings, right? And the most recent board trustees meeting, which a lot of people, you know, got their feelings about, especially a lot of these low-level ACC school beat writers for Wake Forest and NC State and Louisville and screw all of them. That's fine. But they really got upset about Florida State with that board of trustees meeting. Florida State accepted the role of the villain, and now they are, I think, going to ride it for another year. But I do think they make the announcement by August 15th of 2024. I would love, love, love for them to just announce it, you know, either Monday when a lot of folks are listening to this or Tuesday. I don't think it's going to happen, though. Like I said, if it was going to happen, I think it would have happened on Friday. That just would have made sense to me. But yeah, Florida State's long-term future is not in the ACC. Short-term, I think it is for another 2 years, just like you, TJ.
Yeah. And, you know, I wouldn't be super surprised if we announced in the next couple of months, to kind of give like a year and a half. I've heard some good arguments both ways. You know, I think that, you know, you've got some big time stuff happening in 2024, from stadium renovations to a home game with Notre Dame that I think you would not have that home game with Notre Dame anymore, because that's part of the ACC schedule. What I've been told is that the Ireland trip would become a non-conference game. Like they wouldn't want it. It'd be a lot easier now. And you might keep Notre Dame too, but then you think about that, your three out of conference games are going to be Notre Dame and Georgia Tech on another continent. Seems tough. So, I think you're likely to lose that Notre Dame game. Do you want your first season in the SEC or the Big Ten to be in a stadium that's like part of it's not usable because it's been renovated and stuff? So I've heard a lot of arguments for it, but that said, I've also heard a lot of arguments for us going. I've heard things about having an open invite. I've heard things about there being an offer on the table. And if there's an offer on the table and you are ready to go, I think you just pull the trigger and do it, because too much can change in a year. Too much can happen. And I think you risk it now and go. So I'd love to be wrong there. I'd love for us to announce it. I would say I'm like 65-35 that we don't announce. So like, I'm not like 99-1 or anything. I'm probably 65, call it 2/3. We don't announce, 1/3 we do. So I don't know. It's not, still not terrible odds, I guess, but I think that it's probably pretty unlikely. Question about Notre Dame getting a vote while they're independent. The short answer to that is because the ACC is incompetent and allowed them to have full voting rights as a member.
John Swofford thing, yeah.
That said, if Notre Dame voted away, against us for the adding Cal and Stanford and all that stuff, but if it was to dissolve the conference, they would vote with us. They would get out as well and get their other sports more money from the Big Ten. So it might be good that they have one. You would still need 8 teams, even if it was 14 as opposed to the 15, you know, Notre Dame being the 15th. So you'd still need 8 to get over that halfway. So it's probably good that you have Notre Dame, because they will vote with you if it came down to dissolving the conference, in my opinion. Actually, I've been told that by a lot of people that I trust. That's not even a my opinion thing. What conference do you think we join? The easy answer to that is whoever has the better financial offer. I've always thought it was the SEC. I've heard things about the Big Ten being pretty real, but I also think that there's a really good chance they're using the Big Ten offer, if it exists, as leverage. So I've always thought the SEC, but man, that's like a 55-45 or 60-40 type vibe. Like I really could see it going either way. Rich, you have a strong opinion there? Kind of the same.
It's weird for me. You know, I almost prefer the Big Ten, just because football is going to be relatively similar whether you're in the Big Ten or SEC. Obviously, the SEC is a better cultural fit. You know, previous years, the Big Ten for me, TJ, you know, I'm a huge basketball fan. I love the Big Ten matchups. But man, with the money the SEC has, their basketball teams are really good now. They have a lot of good teams. Either one is awesome for me. You know, I don't travel to a ton of games, but I think I'd prefer going to the big conferences or the cities in the Big Ten than I would the SEC. I'd like to fly more than I like to drive. I'm not driving more than 4 hours to go to a game. So that's Tallahassee for me in Orlando. But yeah, either one, if I had to guess, you know, I think the SEC probably does not want Florida State, but I do think they do not want the Big Ten to get Florida State. So that's where the whole dynamic gets interesting. Florida State is on the verge of getting AAU status, which is a big deal, and the Big Ten cares about that a lot. We'll see. I have no idea, but just get me out of the ACC ASAP.
Yeah, ready to go, ready to get out of here. I'm tired of the ACC. So, but what I will say is I've spoken with enough people to say that I am very confident that and I spoke with David Hood about this. I did an interview with him a month and a half, 2 months ago, somewhere in there. And I asked, within 3 years, what are your thoughts? And, you know, 3 years, do you think that Clemson and Florida State will still be in this conference? I may have just asked about Clemson, and then, you know, his answer would carry over Florida State. But if I'd have told you a year ago that it would only be, these next 2 years that you're in the ACC, I think we'd all been happy with that, right? Because we were all thinking 2036. So I know we want to go now. I know we want to announce ASAP. If it's just two more years, I can handle that. Plus, let me just say, with a 12-team playoff, I don't think it'd be bad to be in the ACC one more year with that 12-team playoff. We lose a lot of production next year, starting with your best player on offense and your best player on defense. If you could stay in that ACC for that 12-team playoff, I know that might sound like chicken crap, but I wouldn't be too upset with it. So, okay, let's do this, Richie, and let's get out of here. Guys, if you're watching this, do us a favor and hit that subscribe button. If you have any questions that need to get answered or any comments that we missed, hit that super chat button. See if somebody can take over Nathaniel's spot. Nobody's brave enough to take over Brad's spot, which is way too high. But if you're watching this, hit that super chat, hit the thumbs up, hit the subscribe. We'll have some scrimmage notes for you guys either tonight or in the morning. But let's move to this, Richie, and let's get out. We talked about LSU a little bit earlier. You know, when I start to think about that game and when I start to think about 3 weeks from tonight, it'll actually be what, kickoff, like 3 weeks from right now. I don't mean to sound like too much of a homer, but I said this yesterday on the radio. I think that I don't know where the national love for LSU is coming from. I think a lot of it comes from them beating Alabama in the middle of the year, but the way that they faltered at the end of the year, they played poorly against Arkansas. Then they got blown, beaten by, they were a two score favorite and got beat by A&M by two scores. I mean, like literally a four score swap there. Got demolished in the SEC championship against Georgia. And I know Georgia is Georgia, but I do. I just think that Florida State is a little bit better than LSU at a lot of positions. I think most importantly, they're better at quarterback. I think the offensive line is better for Florida State. I think Florida State's got a better rushing attack, and I think their weapons are better. I think their wide receiver is better. And so defensively, I know that Harold Perkins scares a lot of people. I know that Mason Smith, there was some talk about him potentially being injured today or I saw some other reports that he was fine, but is he 100%? If he's not, I think that is really good news for the Noles. Not that you want a kid to be out injured, but I hope he's at full strength week two. But I think there are some places that LSU is really good, and I think Harold Perkins is really good, and he's kind of a matchup nightmare for every team in the country. But I just think that Florida State's better than LSU at a lot of positions. Really every unit on offense, a couple on defense. I think LSU is pretty low on their secondary right now, and so their weaknesses kind of play into what I think our greatest strength is, and that's the Jordan Travis to Johnny Wilson to Keon Coleman to Jaheim Bell matchup. And so, man, I feel really good about that game as we sit 3 weeks out. Now, I'm not by any means predicting any kind of a blowout. It wouldn't shock me if we won kind of going away. But I think we're just a little bit better than LSU at each of those positions that I mentioned. I don't think we're tons and tons and tons better. I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels is bad or their wide receivers are bad or their offensive line is bad or anything like that. But when you're just a little bit better at every position, that's where I think you should come out of that with a win. And so, Richie, I know I have garnet and gold colored glasses on right now, but you buying any of this crap that I'm selling?
Yeah, you know, I think with LSU, they probably have, you know, top to bottom, the better NFL prospects on their roster. Florida State, in my opinion, by far has the better college football players in the 2023 season. You know, last year, everybody remembers the blocked PAT. Shaheem Brown shut him out. Florida State was on the verge of blowing LSU out and just let them back in the game. And they have an extra year of experience. This is a game. I'm picking Florida State. Like, I by no means, to your point, TJ, am I going to pick a blowout? But I am picking Florida State to win this game. You know, I think LSU is a lot of the product of the SEC hype, right? You know, that's the next team. They beat Alabama last year. They beat a really, really suspect Purdue team in their bowl game that nobody cares about. But Florida State, you know, I think a lot of the question marks come from towards the end of the season. You know, you beat a bad Florida team. It struggled a little bit. A really not great Oklahoma team struggled a little bit, but you got to beat who you play. But people act like Florida State, oh, when they played LSU, you know, it was the first game. They didn't know what they're doing. No, to your point, TJ, they lost to A&M late. They lost to Georgia. Granted, everybody would have lost to Georgia last year. But I think Florida State is, for a college football player in 2023 standpoint, one of the top five teams in the country. And LSU's up there, but they may have more guys that work out in the NFL, and that's awesome. Good for them. But when it comes to Camping World Stadium on September 3rd, Sunday at 7:30 p.m., no, I think it's Florida State, and I expect to win that game.
Yeah, I feel good about it. Now, LSU's a really good team, and so yeah. I can't wait for the LSU fans to find this later on and fill the comments. I'm certainly not saying that Florida State goes in there and wins by 30. But I think Florida State should win the game. I think they should be better. I think you're playing closer to home. I think you've got the better coach. Sorry, BK, but I just think that's true. I think he's a better game day coach anyway. Say whatever you want about wherever, but I like that matchup. And I think the Noles find a way to get it done. I think they've also – I actually think it's good, though, that all of the hype is coming in on LSU just – because I, you know, the fans have had to hear, or I'm sorry, the fans have, but the players have had to hear that. And last year was just because, you know, we talked about this. We did a whole video on it, Richie. But you only beat them because it was game one. Do you remember what Florida State was before last year? I mean, Florida State was supposed to win 6-7. Guess Florida State's over under last year was 6.5 wins. They were supposed to be fighting for a bowl. We weren't talking. I mean, there's a revisionist history. There's a new narrative. But like Florida State wasn't a, I mean, they were, but they weren't expected to be a good team going into last year. And they were coming off a 5-win season and the most embarrassing loss in program history. And then the most embarrassing recruiting signing day flip of all time. Florida State was not in a good spot going into that LSU game. And so there's a revisionist history that says, you only won that game because it was LSU's first game. When the reality is, Florida State wasn't in a good spot going into that game either. Now, their standing improved tremendously by winning that game. But I don't think that the idea that LSU just wasn't, that was game one means anything. LSU came out and scored like 40 points the next several weeks. So you're telling me that they didn't have it together for week one, but then all of a sudden week two, they just figured everything out. And they were on fire since then. So I don't know that I buy it. I got the Noles winning that game. One matchup I do think is very, very important is the Harold Perkins one, and I think he's the X factor for them. What is interesting to me is that if you're planning on spying, and I don't mean to give LSU's coaching staff any kind of hints here or whatever, but I guess I'm about to. If you're planning on spying Jordan Travis with Harold Perkins, we've seen a lot of talk about that, and we'll ask Blake Ruffino when we get him on, when we preview that game. But if you're planning on doing that, I think that's really going to leave things wide open for Jaheim Bell. And I think Harold Perkins is probably the best way to potentially take Jaheim Bell or limit him, right? And so if you've got Perkins being a spy on Travis and Jaheim Bell is able to kind of work the middle of the field, and then you've got the two massive towers of Johnny Wilson and Keon Coleman, I think that LSU is going to struggle defensively. And I think that once we start going to Jaheim Bell, I think they'll have to come out of that spy. And that's what I think Jordan and Benson and the ground game that Florida State wants to employ is going to take its toll on LSU's defense. Again, I like Florida State's offense against their defense. Truth be told, I like their offense at times against our defense too. I think that their offense is good, and I think that our defense at times last year was a little suspect. But if we take a step up on defense, then maybe I'll be wrong there. I love – somebody just mentioned it. Literally was going to say, if Deloach is spying Daniels on the other side, the better secondary wins. I love the idea of Kalen Deloach. I think his instincts Kalen Deloach spying Daniels. I think his instincts are phenomenal. I think the way that he moves and reacts and is just truly, truly special in that role is something that I would look forward to. It's definitely something I would employ if I'm Florida State. And then again, I think pass rush can kind of do everything. That pressure up the middle from guys like Fabo, Fisk, Farmer, again, if Jackson's able to get in, which, you know, not to get political, but shout out my guy Rubio for sending that letter. I think that's pretty cool. The ESPN and literally congressional members right now are crapping on ACC, or I'm sorry, the NCAA. I hate the ACC so much, I can't even get it right. But literally ESPN and everybody else is, pretty impressive that they're crapping on the NCAA right now. So, but yeah, I think that the pressure up the middle, I think, you know, the Perkins matchup is something I'm very, very intrigued by, very interested by. And again, I think Jaheim Bell is kind of our offensive X factor. What is he able to bring? What is he able to give? How does LSU match up there? Does it draw Perkins out of a spy somewhat? What does that look like? I'm hyping this up, man. I might have FSU by 14. I might have lied when I said I wasn't predicting a blowout. And I just got us going off.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. It'll be a great game. LSU has the talent, obviously. I think Brian Kelly, you know, might sound weird, does not get enough credit for how good of a coach he truly is. What he did at Notre Dame was phenomenal, especially after that 4-8 season when he said that never again, fired both coordinators, brought that program back, went to LSU, beat Bama last year. I'm a big fan of Brian Kelly as a coach, not a person. You know, you could talk about windy conditions at practice. That's why I don't like him or other reasons. But this is the game I cannot wait for. TJ, I have a doctor at work that I pass in the hallway every day, and he says, go Tigers. And I cannot wait till that Tuesday after Labor Day. I won't even be there anymore. I'll be starting a new job, but I will send him an email and say, just go Noles.
Yeah. No, I'm excited for it. Again, we're going to be out there tailgating. We'll get the link in the description. I need to start just putting it in there like Harlan told me to do that. But again, I'm an idiot, and he's the brains behind all of this. So we will get a link up. It's on Eventbrite. Come tailgate with us for the game. Had a question about the Tampa Noles event. Again, it's a huge block party they do. Shout out Bud and Ingram were out there. I hung out with Bud a little bit yesterday. Ingram was kind of in a hurry to get out back on a flight, but hung out with Bud a little bit. They answered questions there at the Tampa Noles block party. We were out there last year. We did a live show for it. If you're in Tampa or anywhere near Tampa, like if you're in Orlando, I think this is an event that's worth coming over to. It's the best kickoff party in the country. I'm biased, but I'm just telling you it is. Thousands of Noles descend on Ybor City, and all the bars are FSU entry only. And so they really just take over that strip in Ybor. I think like general admission is like 40, 50 bucks or something. But then there's like a VIP ticket that's like all you can eat, all you can drink. It was sponsored by Four Rivers. Bud and Ingram were there. They had a silent auction. It was really, really neat. So if you missed yesterday, make sure you're out there next year. Ton of fun. Thank you, Mike, for the shirt. I wanted to give them some love today. So I wear the shirt to church and also to the show. So shout out to the Tampa Noles. Support your local Seminole clubs. They do great work with our university. I think that's all I got. Richie, you got anything else? You got any closing thoughts or anything you want to go over tonight before we get out of here?
No, it's going to be the longest 3 weeks, but I cannot wait. It is going to be an exciting time as we come down in Orlando here 3 weeks from today. The game would have kicked off 14 minutes ago, 3 weeks from now. So let's go, Noles.
Yeah, let's get after it. Hey, if you watched this, if you enjoyed it, make sure that you're hitting that subscribe button. We have really big goals and want to continue to grow as much as we can as this season gets underway. So if you support the show, make sure that you hit the subscribe button. I always go back and look at the numbers, and they'll be like 2,000 people watched and half of them were subscribing. I was like, why did you guys watch this for an hour if you weren't even subscribed? But listen, appreciate you guys for watching. Appreciate your support. Come hang out with us at the tailgate. Message us on Twitter or whatever if you have any questions about that. We appreciate you guys a ton and can't wait to be hanging out in Orlando with you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Go Noles.